Jeremiah says that if you're going to brag, that word glory means to brag. Jeremiah said, if you're going to brag on anything, don't brag on the fact that you are strong. Don't brag on the fact that you are rich. Don't brag on the fact that you are wise. He said, the one thing that you can brag on is this, that you understand and know the Lord.
The teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of I've Got Something to Brag About. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of I've Got Something to Brag About.
This morning we're going to look at two passages of Scripture. Open to two passages today, Philippians chapter 3, and also the book of Jeremiah. Now, most of our time today will be spent in the book of Philippians, but we will make a reference to a passage in Jeremiah. But in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi from prison, he says in verse 10, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul's desire was to know Christ, to know him, to know the power of his resurrection, and also to know the fellowship of his sufferings. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, we read these words. Jeremiah, chapter 9. Verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercise loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Paul said that he wanted to know Christ. Jeremiah says that if you're going to brag, that word glory means to brag. Jeremiah said, if you're going to brag on anything, don't brag on the fact that you are strong. Don't brag on the fact that you are rich. Don't brag on the fact that you are wise. He said, the one thing that you can brag on is this, that you understand and know the Lord. I come to tell you this morning, I got something to brag about. Jeremiah challenged the people of his day. He challenged them not to glory. And like I said, that word glory actually means to boast. Actually, the word meant to flash a light. And so a lot of times when people brag, what are they doing? They're flashing a light on themselves. If you are boasting about something that you did, what are you doing? You're flashing a light on yourself. You're flashing a light on your deeds. The prophet says, don't flash the light on your strength. Don't flash the light on your wisdom. Don't flash the light on your riches. But let him that flashes the light, let him that glories, let him glory in this, that he understands the Lord, that he knows the Lord. If you know the Lord today, my brothers and sisters, truly you have something to brag about. And this was the heart of the Apostle Paul. Paul had this burning desire that he wanted to know Christ. And as we look at the passage this morning, the first thing that we see is that you can brag about knowing the person of Jesus Christ. You can brag about knowing the person of Jesus Christ. This word know, where he says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he says that I may know him. Paul wanted to know Jesus Christ. Notice, and I think that he makes a distinction between knowing the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of the suffering. But Paul says here that I want to know him. Is this your desire today? Do you have a desire to know him, to know Jesus Christ? The word that's used here is the Greek word gnosko. And there's two words in the Greek for the word know. One is oida, and the other one is gnosko. Oida means to know something from an intellectual standpoint. You know, as I might say that I know the President of the United States, and I know him from an intellectual point of view. I know about him. But Paul says, look, I don't want to know about Jesus Christ. I don't want to know that he was a historical figure that walked across the page of time. I just don't want to know that he was a Hebrew that lived during the first century. He said, I just don't want to have an intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ. But Paul uses the word gnosko, which means to know from an experiential point of view. It means to know in an intimate way. It means to know how the person feels. It means to know how a person thinks. It means to know how a person acts and reacts. Paul said, I want to know him. The problem with many Christians today is that we say we know Jesus Christ, but we really don't know him. Do you really know him? Now, I'm going to share some things with you in a second. And I'm going to let you see, I believe in not just telling you that you ought to know him, but I'm all about the practicality of it. How can I know if I know Jesus Christ? How do I know if I know him? And if I don't know him, how can I go on this journey to begin to know him? Because, like I said, just talking to a lot of people, some people don't really, they say that they know Jesus Christ, but they really don't know him. And I heard this story, Aesop's Fable. Maybe many of you have had the opportunity to read some of Aesop's fables, but there was the fable of the monkey and the dolphin. And I heard this one from Reverend Johnson. This one, his favorite one. So I'd like to use this one right here. But the story is told that there was a sailor who was on a ship with a group of other people, and they had a load of cargo, and the sailor decided to bring this monkey on board. And as they were sailing across the sea, the ship wrecked and was destroyed. The people jumped off the boat, and the monkey had to jump off, so everybody was trying to fend for themselves. So as the monkey was struggling in the water, there was a dolphin that came along, and the dolphin, you know, was trained to save men. And so the dolphin came along, and he came underneath the monkey and began to help the monkey above the water so that he wouldn't drown. As they were going along, they had a little conversation, and the dolphin said to the monkey, he said that, are you an Athenian? And the monkey said, yes, I am. I come from one of the greatest families in Athenia. And he said, well, do you know Piraeus? And Piraeus actually was a port. But the monkey said, yeah, I know Piraeus. Him and I are good friends. We talk together all the time. And the dolphin knew that he was lying. And so the dolphin took him down in the water, and the monkey drowned. What's the moral of that story? Well, there's a couple of them. One of them is when you lie, you can get in deep water. No. But you know, some of us, let's be honest, some of us are like the monkey, right? We say we know Christ. You know, yeah, I know Christ. Yeah, I mean, I've accepted Christ. I know Christ. But do we really know him? Do we really know his heart? Do we know the heartbeat of Christ? Paul said that I might know him, that I might know the person of Christ. What is the person of Christ? The person of Christ is up on the slide for you today. We can say a lot of things about Jesus Christ. We can say that he was omnipotent, which means that he was all-powerful. We can say that he's omniscient, that he knew everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. We can talk about his grace and mercy. We can talk about all that. But let me talk about some things that reflect upon his personal character, the personal character of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lived a holy life. Do you know him in his holiness? Have you ever sat down and began to think about, here was a man that lived 30-some years on this earth, that he never sinned, he never had a thought of sin in his life, and that everything he did was out of a pure and holy motive. Do you know him today? Do you know him? Do you know the holy Christ? Have you communed with him? Have you fellowship with him? Paul said that I might know him. He always tried to please the Father. That's the Christ that I want to know. That his life was submitted to the Father, and everything that he did, that he wanted to please God. Paul said that I might know him. He had a genuine love for others. His love was not a fake or phony love, but his love was birthed out of the very heart of God. It was a love that reached out to meet the needs of others. It was a love that saw the woman at the well who was confused, and he came along and he spent time with her and ministered to her. It was a love that saw a woman taken in adultery, and he came and lifted her up and restored her self-esteem once again. It was a love that saw the hardened, backslidden disciples, their hearts be melted and come back to God because of the love that he showed him. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the person of Christ? Paul said, that's who I want to know. He said, I want to know his person. And you know what? I just don't want to be able to go to the scriptures and say, yeah, I know the story about the feeding of the 5,000. Yeah, I know the story about the woman at the well. You know, what is that? That's oida. That's an intellectual knowledge. Paul said, I want more than an intellectual knowledge. He said, I want to gnosko. I want to know him intimately. You know, I want the things that I read about the life of Christ to interact with my life and my heart. I want to receive them into my spirit. I want to receive them into my character. It's got to be more, my brothers and sisters, than to go out here with these fine little cute Sunday school stories and walk out and say, well, I know this, I know that. No, it's deeper than that. It's this intimacy with Jesus Christ. Paul said, I want to know that he was a meek and humble person. Well, we thank God for the testimony from Deacon Cephas this morning, because what was his testimony? It was a reflection of Christ. It was a reflection of knowing Christ, that if you have not submitted your spirit and have not intentionally purposed in your heart that you want to know him, when you get into situations like that, and I've been in them too, and I tell you what was in my spirit sometimes, ready to resort back to the ways of the world. But thank God that if I'm on this pursuit of knowing Christ, knowing the person of Jesus Christ, you know, if you've, and some of you may just have to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Because if you just meet a person and you sit down and you start talking to that person, like yesterday at our men's fellowship, there was a bunch of brothers that I had never met before. And I sat down at the table and we just began the dialogue. You know, where you work at? You know, how many children do you have? How long you been married? And then once we got past all the peripheral things, the brothers began to open up and share their heart. As we dealt with issues of the heart, as we dealt with issues of how I pray for the people in my family, how I show God forth in my life and my ministry, and as we got deep down in, we moved past those peripheral things and we cut down into the very heart of who they were. And what Paul says, he says, I don't want to just know, understand the peripheral things of Jesus Christ. He said, I want to know the very heart of Christ. I want to commune with his heart, that this meek and humble person, I want his character to be reflected in my life, that he spent time in prayer, that he focused on doing the work of the Father. Do you want to know the person of Christ today? Yeah, as you're sitting here today listening to the message, and I'm sure that some of you are focused on the message today, but then other you, you're distracted right now. You're distracted right now. But as you sit there today, as you sit here through this whole service, your desire should have been, how can this help me to understand God better? How can this help me to understand Jesus Christ better? As I sang the songs, as the prayers were given, that I want to be able to know him. I want to know the person of Jesus Christ. How about you, my brothers and sisters? Do you want to know the person of Christ? See, every time when I have devotions and I spend time with God in the morning, you know, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get to know the person of Christ if I'm reading in the Gospels. As I listen to radio, Christian radio or sermons on my way to work, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get to know the person of Jesus Christ. I want to know him. You know, just like you know the people in your life, like some of y'all, don't be like the guy who he was trying to make things with his right with his wife, and he brought her a gift, and she got upset and stormed out of the room. And somebody said, well, what did you get her? He said, I got her favorite flowers. And they said, well, what was that? He said, Pillsbury. You know. He didn't understand. He didn't know his wife. He didn't know his wife. See, you know your wife. You know your husband. You know your children. You know them. You know, if I was to go and ask those of you who have more than one child, and I was to sit down with you, you could tell me the personality, the difference between the personality in your children. You could tell me what foods your children like and don't like. You could tell me what makes them happy, what makes them sad. You know them. Just like that, you know them. And God said, as through the Apostle Paul, that the same way that you know your children, Paul said, I want to know Christ. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to know what makes Christ happy. I want to know what makes him sad. I want to know from reading about him how he would react in this situation and how he would react in that situation. I want to know him. The second thing that Paul says that we can brag about, remember Jeremiah said, don't brag in the fact that you got big bucks. Don't brag in the fact that you look like Charles Atlas. Don't brag about the fact that you are wiser than Solomon. He said, let him that brag in this, that he understands and knows me. That's something to brag about. And then you know what? And I didn't bring this out when I was over there in Jeremiah, but it also, he finished by saying, in these things do I delight. What does God delight in? God delights in the fact that somebody knows him. That's what makes him happy, when you know him. You know, Isaiah, is it Isaiah? I think it's Isaiah. Isaiah talked about, let me turn there real quick. Isaiah chapter 1. Yeah, amen, amen. I was wondering. I was getting a little worried there. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3. Isaiah says this. The ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. He says even the animals, an animal knows his master. He knows when he's going to bring food. He knows what kind of food he's going to bring. He knows when he's going to do this and when he's going to do that. Isaiah said the ox knows his master, but my people don't know me. Are you smarter than an ox? There's a show on TV. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? All right? Are you smarter? See, I would never get on that show. Because they put me to shame, man. I was telling people this morning about math. You know, I got to college, and once again, y'all don't be like Pastor Glaze now. Yeah, I did graduate from college with a 3.2, so I will say that. But math wasn't one of my things. And when it came to math, and I had to take a math course in college, I looked for the lowest level math course that there was. Yeah, general math. I think the highest we got was breaking down fractions. That was that was about it. So you know, this one area where all the youth in here, you can excel, Pastor Glaze, in math, and go ahead with your bad self. Amen, amen. But you know, as we look at this, you know that the ox knows his master. You know, are you smarter than the ox? You know, one of the dumbest animals he gives here. Look at the two animals that he gives, the ox and the donkey. Stubborn and dumb. Stubborn and dumb. The most stubborn and the dumbest know their master. Are you smarter than an ox? The second thing that Paul says that he can brag about, he says that we can brag about knowing the power of Christ. Paul says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. This word resurrection, or the word power, comes from the Greek word dunamis, and it means ability. That you have the ability to do whatever it is that God would have you to do. And Paul said that I not only want to know the person of Christ, but I want to know the power of his resurrection. As I think about the power of the resurrection of Christ, put up that next slide. What does the power, you know, and I began to meditate on this. What does the power of the resurrection mean? That I want to know him. I want to know his person. And I want to know his power. And when Paul says I want to know his power, that means I want that same power that all that I can get in my life, I want to have it so I can live a victorious life. The power of his resurrection. What does that involve? It involves the power of life over death. When Jesus rose from the dead, what did he do? He rose bodily from the dead, and he came back to life. Oh, now, stay with me now, because I'm going somewhere on this. The second thing, it involves a power that overcomes the limitations of the physical body. In his resurrected body, Jesus was transparent. What was he able to do? The disciples were gathered in a room, and the next thing we know, where was Jesus? He was right in the middle of them. They didn't see him come in. He was able to come through the walls. It involved a transparent body. His resurrected body was eternal. It was never going to die again. You know, everybody in the scripture that rose from the dead, they all died again, except for maybe one or two. But the one that never died was Jesus Christ. His body lived eternally. His resurrected body was glorified. And not only that, but his resurrected body involved the power. It says that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. It said that the Son raised himself from the dead. And then it said that the Spirit of God raised him from the dead. Watch this now. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying that I might know the power of his resurrection. Look at the power of his resurrection. Life over death, removal of limitations of the body, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all working. That's what I want in my life. Paul said that I might know the power of his resurrection. And why is it that we have Christians all the time walking around defeated and discouraged and beat down and beat up? The reason is because they're not walking in the power of his resurrection. Jesus, or Paul said, in Ephesians chapter 1, he gives us this powerful revelation, one that I've pointed out many times from this pulpit before. In chapter 1, in verse 19, Paul says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" Where does he say? He said, "What is his power in us, toward us?" Well, what power is that, Paul? It's the same power he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Man, the same power that was used to bring Jesus up out of the grave, the apostle says that the same power is available to us. And why, you know, and I just don't understand.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion. If you'd like to request an audio copy of today's message, I've got something to brag about. You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, "I've got something to brag about." That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, I've got something to brag about. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.